The Trash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com.
Overkill Derby products at OverkillDerby.com.
Boat Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National.
Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com.
Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015.
Demo Derby Master.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com.
And Derby Ink Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Ink.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to Crash Course episode number 99. Next week we turn 100. Can't wait for that. The game plan next week is, instead of piling up a ton of guests, what we're going to do is we're going to open up the call-in line. So anybody that has questions or anything, they can they're welcome to call in and shoot any questions they might have to us. I know a lot of times we get the, where was your favorite, where was the worst, where was the best, where was the this, that, and the other thing. I thought that might be a fun way to ring in episode number 100. Lots of stuff to get to tonight. Brian Tompkins joining us here in the studio, along with Ben Haust and Donnie Hartzell. Donnie, fresh off of a run down there at the Kings of Old School 2, the team derby, and then Ben was working as an official down there. Congratulations to all the winners. We're already catching up with Brad Tice, James Almick, and Jamie Bolt here in a few minutes, winners of the V8 full-size division, and then Jamie St. Mary and Matt Zira, I believe, they're going to be in the same place at the same time, so we'll be catching up with them, talking a little bit about their win in the compacts, and get some thoughts from Donnie about his run to second as he tried to shake off both Zira and St. Mary in the final moments of the compact team feature. And then we're going to round it out with a little bit of a preview of the Brookfield Wheel Day show that's coming up here next Saturday. We're going to be talking with Madison County Fair champion, getting his win back in July, Mike Ingram. We'll be catching up with him a little bit later on. Lots of stuff to get to through the course of the night. First off, we want to send some well wishes out to Todd Height. His dad, Pops, is a little bit sick here. He has been taken out of ICU, but something that we're watching pretty close. You can use his thoughts and prayers. On top of that, also, Crash Course team, I thought they did a real good job for everybody. They represented pretty well. Cliff Donnelly, he only had drive, and he only had the opportunity to make one hit. Don't know if it was the smartest move, but he pulled out there and just lambasted one of those Iowa cars. And we saw Adrian Gilbert. He failed a launch at the line, but nonetheless, in the heat and the consi, key in getting those guys into the feature at Kings of Old School, and then walking away with that trophy. The heavy hitter of the team, Joe Backus, did an outstanding job with his diplomat, electing probably a poor decision as well to blast the back of Jamie St. Mary's Cadillac, and it basically eviscerated the nose of the diplomat. But sure enough, man, he was out there swinging. I think that team ended up getting down to like fourth or something. Not too bad. He ran pretty well. Kings of Old School, a lot of attention being given to the Gully family down there. A lot of love. They gave away more than 70 door prizes when everything was factored in, because a lot of those tickets, they had one line item, but they had 10 T-shirts, or they had a couple of bottles of maple syrup, and they had some really big ticket items too, with some of the bumpers and rims and giveaways and things like that. A lot of appreciation for that. We have there's been a little bit of a conversation online about if we're ever going to go to pay-per-view or things like that, and I pointed out to a couple of the guys that there's been a donation link on the Crash Course page since we started doing this stuff, but it hasn't very rarely been used. Next week, for the duration of the hour that we're on, any donation that comes in using that link, which is on all the pages, all that money is going to be forwarded over to the Gully family too. Cool. I'm not going to do it this week because we want everybody to know about it. If we do it this week, one person's going to find it. So next week, that's going to happen as well. Letting everybody know that's active, it's up and running, and that'll go for the duration of the show that we're on. So if we end up going to an hour and a half, not only will Jim Sinicropi get mad, but also add a little bit time, a little bit more time for everything on the back side of it. Still waiting. Right now, we're anticipating the call from Jamie Bolt. He should be giving us a call here in a few minutes. But Brian, you had an interesting weekend. Nonetheless, we're not going to get into the NFL portion of the football experience, but the thunder and lightning certainly affected you.
Yeah, we got my. I wasn't able to go to the Kings Old School. Both our sons play youth football, and got through the first game all right. And then we were just getting ready for the second game and our third game of the night, actually. And they flipped a coin for the coin toss, and the sky lit up, and we ended up being canceled. Had to go back and finish the next day, but. It was quite the trip. We came home from Clyde, and there was lightning like you wouldn't believe.
Okay, good.
We made it home from that.
Go ahead. Keep going.
No, you're good. I'm ready.
You good?
Okay.
Waiting on you now.
Oh, you're waiting on me?
You missed it.
Don't let me be the guy that holds up the show. All right. So, Team Ramrod, which I got to tell you was one of the sharpest looking groups of cars that was out there, man. They're good looking cars. That team is now joining us here on the DerbyParts.com hotline. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ron.
Well, congratulations are in order in the win. There was a lot of discussion about who may or could or should have won that feature, but they would have had to go through you guys to do it. You had an outstanding run.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time.
Something that you guys have put a lot of thought into. I mean, you guys drove as a pretty tight kind of cohesive unit. You had the hand signals going. Everybody knew where they had to be, and y'all had assignments. And sure enough, there was only three cars left running at the end of the feature, and all three of them were in orange.
How we like it. we got lucky. Had a good run. Everything went well for
us. As a whole, Jamie and Brad, you guys have fared pretty well at Kings of Old School events. Jamie Bolt winning the kicker class back in June. Your car winning the kicker class again this year. And then you guys coming away with the sweep, as it were, of the final three spots, not even losing a car through the course of the weekend in the team show.
Yeah. Yeah, I built that Kings of kicker car first, but Mike wanted to run it this next time because I wasn't going to mess around with two different cars. But he pretty much put that together, back together on his own with his motor and tranny in it, and away he went.
Corey Relier pulling triple duty, running in three different divisions. We saw Jim Beatty and Jamie St. Mary both running in two divisions. A lot of the guys that were electing to try that multi-car program. Instead, you put your focus on the one car. Did you guys even have that much to do after your qualifying heat? It looked like those cars were in pretty healthy shape after you were done with the heat.
No, there wasn't really a lot of work to do. All the work happened before it all even started.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I spent 5 hours out in the pits. When we got there, we showed up early, you know, just wanted to get inspected, wanted to get a chance to get around, see some of the other teams, you know, talk to people and stuff. And we lined the cars up for that picture that they took of them. And I went to move my car back over the trailer, and it was running like on four cylinders. We ended up tearing the distributor all apart, tearing the carburetor all apart, running all new fuel line. We spent 5 hours out there just to get it to inspection line.
Wow.
And I was thinking it was going to basically screw my team over and not even make it out there. And then, you know, we ended up coming away with it like we did. I feel pretty lucky, basically.
Yeah, I heard Brad had a scare with his motor, too.
Well, that was Brad.
Oh, that was Brad just talking? All right.
That's crazy.
I took his carburetor for, what, three times before we decided, let's just run all new everything.
we sent a truck to Binghamton and picked up a brand new HEI distributor, Excel distributor. We just weren't sure what the problem was. We changed every component in the distributor, didn't change anything. We went to the carburetor, tore that apart three times, ended up finally just taking it completely off and disassembling it there in the grass outside of the track, and you know, we got it back together. I didn't have the timing just perfect on it, but it ran well for me.
I'd say so.
Just well enough.
I'd say your new idea on the back of the Mopar wagon worked out pretty well for you too.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
No.
A lot of head shaking and people wondering if I might have been out of my mind, but it looked like a decent idea, so we went with it.
Now, was that
by the way, him being out of his mind, people thinking that included his teammate.
Yeah, Well, that was a Monaco wagon, right?
Yeah, it was
a
Royal Monaco,
yep.
Yeah.
Ben and I were talking before the show, and he told me, because I had seen some pictures, and the Monaco wagons I've seen run, most of the really cherry Monaco wagons, the ass, I've all seen them go to the ground. But if they're a little crusty in the back, they'll push in, and then they're tough. Uh-huh. And he said that, you know, you took the bumper and the tailgate off, and I kind of thought that was a pretty good idea. I mean, I don't know if it would let it, you know, obviously loosen it up or weaken it up just enough to where it would push in instead of going down. But, I mean, that's, I don't know if I would have ever had the guts to do it with a car that nice, but it was a hell of an idea. I mean, that's, you know, obviously it worked out for you.
Kind of a sickening feeling when you take the torch to a car that nice.
Oh yeah. And that was a clean car. I know where it came from.
Yeah, it was one of them deals where the thought came into mind and you just had to start cutting before you changed it.
Yeah. Before you went, man, I should be doing this, but it worked out for you. I mean, you know, maybe you can get, you know, one or two more. I saw the after pictures, it didn't look too bad, I didn't think, so I'm sure you'll be able to run it again somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it looks a lot worse than it structurally
is.
You
know,
the roof
went
up and
it
opened up a bit, but it folded about how I was hoping.
Probably take her to Burlington in a couple weeks, finish it off
to
a little show over there.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
How about the Cadillacs? How'd they fare? Look like the nose
was
starting to go on one of them.
Yeah, mine's pushing up a little bit. I'm not quite sure where it's moving at, but it's definitely,
yeah,
something's going on with it. I haven't really looked at it.
Well, your Cadillac is
one. I had mine off the trailer today and looked at it a little bit. It looks like right behind the firewall mounts, like where the side rails come into the crush box area there is where it looks like it's going on mine.
Right.
Is that a 75?
Mine was a, well, actually both of ours were 76s.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Basically the same thing. That's where my bent is.
I would imagine that's probably where mine's bending too, because I don't really find anything anywhere else.
They weren't going to bend up front.
Yeah. That's where my bent was, right behind the right behind the crush box. It bent. Some guy in a 6-cylinder car showed up at our county. And I tried to drive through the back end of him, and eventually ruined my car. But you know that happens sometimes.
Absolutely.
That cheated one.
What do you end up? Would you end up do breaking an axle on your car?
Yeah, I broke an axle.
That's
actually somebody. I'm usually pretty partial to my wheels, and somebody caught me off guard, and they actually rolled the bead right over the center. The tire can go flat, but you can see the tube. You can see inside the tire, everything.
Wow.
Huh.
That must have been a pretty good shot, because that was a D50 wheel, and it rolled it right over hard.
Wow. I tell you, on the topic of that wheels thing, man, Bob Barrows took a shot in the left front corner on his Mopar, and I've never seen anything bend like that. I can't remember who hit him, but the nose was coming down. Oh, it was one of the Lincolns that was there, and the nose was coming down. Like, he hit a hole in the track and hit the bottom half of the wheel, and it pushed the wheel in underneath the car.
Wow.
Yeah, and the left front corner on Barrows number 77. I think it was the first heat that was on the track. It was the Rough Riders. The 211 got shoved up on the blocks, and then Barrows took that shot in the left front corner, and it bent that wheel all kinds of funny ways, and it
that was actually our heat. But I think what you're talking about might have happened in the Conti, Chris.
It could be.
Saw the bottom of the.
I think Adrian Gilbert might have got him in the Conti.
That's the way you usually see him bent, you know.
Yeah. Right. It was weird. It was towed way out at the top and shoved right underneath the car underneath.
Right.
Yep. So you guys are talking about going to Burlington next. Are all three of you going?
Yeah. I think I might. I still have my Harper car left to get rid of. I don't know where the hell else I would run that, and then I have this Caddy.
How about
I got to get rid of something?
Is there anything left of the Riviera from the Keystone Nationals?
Yeah, that's a big negative. Structure parts right there. That's a no-go on the Rivi. That thing got real tore up real bad.
I'll tell you what though, that car was crazy tough for a long time in that feature.
I think it was the freshest car going into the feature.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Huh? Without a doubt.
It was not the freshest coming out.
I think that's probably why it took it so rough in the feature, because it was the nicest car in the feature.
Yep.
Yeah, they were definitely after you. When I started seeing that...
I'm sorry, I keep talking over you there, but you know, Mark Sciopa come over to me after that feature there, and he shook my hand, and I had a lot of people around me there that were shaking my hand and stuff. I just grabbed a hand. I didn't realize whose it was, or I might not have shook it. I was kind of upset at the time, but, you know, he said, hey, we thought you were the toughest car, so that's why we did what we did, and I mean, it was kind of a backhanded compliment, I guess, but, you know, looking back at it, that's kind of their hometown track, you know, if that mm-hmm. was me in their shoes and everything was flipped around, I guess I'd have done the same thing, so I can't really hold it against them, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, kind of part of Derby. Part of Derby.
Was there anybody that you were nervous about going out there for the feature? Any of the teams that were out there on the track with you that you were kind of looking at, knowing for sure that you had to get to them before they got to you?
I don't think there was anybody in particular, but everybody's a threat, right? I mean, you never know what's going to happen out there.
I expected it. I was kind of looking for a epic battle, you might say, between us and Team Iowa, but didn't even end up getting a trade paint with them.
Yeah, that was a hot topic of conversation. The Team Iowa coming away with the heavy hitter award, the Buell Built trophies, all those orange trophies that were perched right on top of those purple cars, would have been fun to watch. But then at the end, nonetheless, you still had your work cut out for you, having to tee off with Jamie St. Mary, and then I think at that point it was Jim Beatty Robbie Brown in that car.
All three of them came down to.
Well, Corey wasn't in the car.
Corey wasn't in the car. Robbie was in Corey's car.
So Robbie was.
Jim was in his car, and then Jamie St. Mary.
There was some musical chairs going on. It was hard to keep up. That's how the world turns in Broome County. Corey, musical chairs.
Corey's knee looked like a freaking grapefruit coming out the side of it. So he wasn't.
It was rough.
Yeah, he took a nasty, nasty shot. DeVevitt got him sideways down on the blocks in the kicker class. And basically about blew the block inside of his car before he put him on top.
He shifted his whole cage.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a nasty shot. Bad. So, I mean, Corey wanted to go out there, but Brett, being the smarter brother, basically said, Corey, no, basically told him no. I mean, because he could have.
Yeah.
He could have caused the injury. You never know. Something screwy could have happened. You never know.
It's really unfortunate. You got to err on the side of safety.
So that's why that substitution was made. But no, I mean, there was no slouches out there. I mean, Robbie's a veteran driver. I mean, Jim drove smart. Jim's usually a ladlehead and goes out there and just rockets people. But he drove smart and stayed with it. And Jamie had, he's probably, if he rewatches it, Jamie will be madder than a wet hornet. You know, he backs up, hangs himself up on another car.
Oh, that stinks.
So,
yeah. I pushed him up there in the heat of the Derby, and then after watching the tape, I was like, oh, well, I guess he put himself up there.
Yeah, he put himself up there, and I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. And I'm like, well, he just did his job, did their job for him, basically, a little bit.
And Jamie's not a guy who makes mistakes like that.
No, I knew that. You know, I was looking at, when it got down to the few of us there, I was looking around and, you know, seeing Jamie St. Mary, I literally was just trying to get squared up with him because I knew he was the wheel man out there to get after, you know?
Yeah.
So what did that change in terms of the strategy with Jamie having eliminated himself? Nobody really went over and poked at him even. They just kind of left him hung up there, and he was hell-bent to melt the transmission down if he wasn't going to be able to get free. And that let all three of you guys focus on that final remaining car that Robbie Brown was driving.
I actually thought that Brad pushed him up there, too. I was kind of sitting right next to him when it happened, and I watched his wheel spin, and I thought, well, that's good news right there. So I drove away, and then Brad parked up in behind me and sat there until he could get my attention to let me know, don't touch that car, which I already knew.
But, right.
You know, it was one of those, stay away from that.
In your eyes, did the team element become lost on some of the teams that you're out there against? Did it just come down to the fact that it was just a regular derby where we're looking for the last car running, just standard elimination style motorsports event? I mean, you guys were doing a lot with the hand signals and stuff, but it seemed to me anyway that some of those guys they weren't accustomed to the whole element. They weren't accustomed to the team driving aspect.
Yeah, Yeah, I think a lot of the teams had a lot of talented drivers, but they were drivers that weren't used to running with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, I think it was just a whole lot of people trying to run like a normal derby where we had a bit of an upper hand there where we've run 20 years, kind of watching each other's back a little bit. So, kind of second nature other than actually being able to hold on purpose and wait for one of my buddies to come. Which I will tell you is an amazing feeling when you know that you're just going to sit there and wait, and that's okay.
Sit there and wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm just going to sit here and wait. Somebody will be along. I'm going to wait until I can watch parts fly out of this car.
That's awesome.
We've got
it's
a couple.
It's really tricky to get your mind into that mode when you go so many years and so many derbies where that's what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, so many places that holding element is taboo. You know, we got on the national scene, we've got a bunch of these team format shows. We've got the team element at Metal Mayhem with some of the compact guys. We've got Blizzard Bash, obviously, we're looking forward to here coming up in November. And then we've got Spring Explosion, and then we've got the team portion of qualifying at the Northeast Championship. Have you ever thought about taking and trying your hand at any of those other events, be it, you know, the one in Massachusetts where it's a qualifying night or some of these higher tier shows?
Well, we've talked about it here recently. Myself, I was considering going out in, in April there to that Capital Carnage. I actually already booked a room and everything out there, but I don't know. After Keystone Nationals, then I kind of felt like, well, maybe I need to get my feet in there a little deeper before I go driving that far. So I think I'm going to hold off for the moment, but yeah, it's definitely something I could see happening in the not so far future.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's cool. Yeah, I'd love to see another Pennsylvania team come out there.
Yeah. You know,
the Capital Carnage show is going to be standalone. It's just going to be regular qualifying heats. They don't have that same team element as they do at Blizzard Bash at Capital City Carnage, which is coming up in April. Which that unto itself, I can't wait till we get some more of the details out about that. That's going to be insane. Mm-hmm. You know, basically 200 car limit, and it's up to just insane money to win.
Yeah, we're going to be derbying right for like 3 days straight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But those, I anticipate those heats are probably going to go off fairly quick.
Well, I think that's going to be a major difference from anybody from around this area that goes out or East Coast-wise that goes out to run a team-type format out west, out that way. The pace is totally different.
Right.
To where a lot of guys, like we were talking before the show, a lot of guys I think had a total misconception. They're used to watching Blizzard Bash, or used to watching videos from there, videos from you know, Spring Explosion and stuff like that, and that's why people were getting all pissed off up in the stands, saying, "Oh, they're bagging." Well, no, that's a team format. That's what they're supposed to be doing. It's just you guys are getting spoiled by the minute and 40 second heats and you know, 2 minute, 3 minute,
49 second heats,
and it's. Yeah.
Ben had the stopwatch on that. It was 48 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you guys, I mean, 100% you could tell that.
Yeah.
I'm sitting down there, and I'm like, yeah, these guys got their shit together. This is going to be it, you know. And like, you hit the nail on the head. There's a ton of tail in the drivers out there, but they just. They haven't either worked together enough to actually have that flow.
Teamwork, yeah.
Yeah, that flow like you guys had. It definitely, you could tell for sure.
Well, the other thing that, you know, people got to keep in mind, you know, that was based on a more of a stock build. I mean, you're not talking about Blizzard Bash cars, so you're not going to go out there and run it right to the floorboard the whole time. I mean, mm-hmm. we amongst ourselves have had this discussion over and over, you know. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of grief and stuff from people in the crowd, you know. Obviously, you're not their driver, so they're not happy if you win and all that. But, you know, you spend all these months in the garage building these cars, and you got all the time and all that money in it. You're not going to go out there and just kamikaze it and junk it and do it, you know what I mean?
No.
You go out there and you use your head.
Some might.
And especially being on a team, you don't want to go out there and take yourself out, and then you're kind of screwing your teammates over, you know what I mean? So
you're
trying to drive smart for not just yourself, but for your team.
Basically, you drive the pace to the build, basically. You know what I mean? The pace is set by the build of the car, like you just said.
Like at the Superstocks in Brookville.
Mm-hmm.
We went out. The only plan we really had was whatever pace the other team pushed, that's how we were going to run. If they were taking it easy, we were going to go with it. If we had to come out right off the line and get at it, that's what we'd do. But obviously, it worked out better for us. We got lucky and got it 3-on-2 right off the bat, which definitely made our heat easier.
Mm-hmm. So just one final thought here. We got Jamie St. Mary coming up here in just a few minutes, was with the winning team, Team W Body in the compact division. Josh told me that you guys had had an interesting selection process for your team name.
They're all laughing.
Go on.
Yeah, it was. I thought it would be pretty funny to hear you say that, just because going with the Super Troopers thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It felt like it flowed good. We really wanted to hear you say Team Ramrod all night long.
And I did. I did that all night.
I'm pretty sure we made that happen.
It did. That did occur.
That's great.
Yeah. It did occur. I don't know if you realize that I've watched Super Troopers 100 times. Yeah. I don't want a large Farva, sir.
When the old team show first started, coming around, we were just joking amongst ourselves, Team Ramrod, right from the get-go. And then when it actually got closer and we started talking about a name, we threw a bunch of stuff around, and it just pretty much come back to
Team Ramrod.
With Team Ramrod. So let's make Chris say Team Ramrod. Yeah.
Fair enough.
The funny thing is when the last...
The only thing that could have been better with that is if we all had syrup in the car for after the beat.
That would have been the best. Yeah. If
they, people knew there that were there, of course, but a lot of people, you know, these guys should definitely get props for what they did. They basically came, they donated and gave away 3 Power Wheels cars.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I heard Chris. The last time Josh was up in Brett, we all went out and had dinner afterwards, and I heard them. Josh said that,
all the Power Wheels were painted orange with the same decals and everything. It was cool.
I heard Josh talking about all that. When we went out to dinner, he said something about a team coming, and he didn't say any of the driver names. He just said Team Ramrod because they thought it'd be funny to hear Chris say Team Ramrod all night. So I thought it was all kind of worked out good in the end. And he mentioned the giving away the Power Wheels, which is awesome for you guys to do, mm-hmm. but. Glad it all worked out for you.
Yep. Came together pretty well, guys. I'm happy for you, and I hope if we get the opportunity to do it again, that we get the opportunity to do it again.
If we get the opportunity, I hope we get the first spot. Absolutely. We got to give props to Brett, Mark, Josh. They really stick their necks out there, and it's a good time. I hope it keeps going. I really do.
Yeah, we've been derbying, all of us, for, you know, close to 20 years. I'm 17 years myself, and I will tell everybody that's listening, that is probably one of the funnest runs I've ever had in a car, is doing that team format. So, mm-hmm. I mean, next year, I hope they do it again. I know they were a little short on cars, but if they do it again, I strongly suggest trying it for drivers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right on. Absolutely. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming. Appreciate you guys coming on and hanging out with us again. Congratulations on the win, Team Ramrod, winning Kings of Old School's full size division. Jamie Bolt, Brad Tice, James Omick. You had an awesome run, guys.
Thank you.
We'll catch up with you guys in a little while. Thanks again.
Yeah.
There goes Team Ramrod, winners of the VA class. We got to do a couple ads quick, and we'll be right back with Jamie St. Mary.
The Crash Course would like to thank DerbyParts.com. An industry leader in aftermarket parts, DerbyParts.com has become the go-to source for builders looking to make one stop for all their derby needs. A proud partner of the Reckless Warrior series and a title sponsor at the Bash for Cash, DerbyParts.com offers products from the top manufacturers in industry, including fellow Reckless Warriors partners Brian Muir and Big Rock Derby Products, and performance aftermarket standouts MSD, Adelbrock, Schoenfeld, and Samson Tires. Inventory includes cradles, ultrabell, sliders, flex plates, pedal kits, mounts, fans, radiators, adapters, tanks, and much, much more. DerbyParts.com truly offers one-stop shopping for builders ready to perform at any level. Go online and check them out. From bumper to bumper, you can find it on DerbyParts.com.
Chaos in the Valley is on deck for October the 24th. JPG Towing and Jason and Penny Scheib ready to host the annual Tom's Brook Volunteer Fire Department Benefit Derby
coming up this October. Last year it was Jason Cope coming away with the win in the full-size class, and this year promises to be even bigger. There's $4,000 guaranteed for the full-size winner and another $1,500 for the compact champion. The card also includes power wheels, trucks, lawnmowers, and a ladies-only event. All proceeds go to benefit Thomas Brooks Volunteer Fire Department. Direct questions to Jason Scheip at 540-335-7510. That's 540-335-7510. Or check online the National Big Money Events Board on WeCrash.com. The Crash Course Podcast is proud to thank Overkill Derby Products for their continued support. Overkill is one of the original Derby-specific vendors to jump up as the sport was exploding, and like their equipment, they're still standing. Overkill specializes in engine cradles, mounts, shifters, and gas pedals. Overkill also remains one of the only sources for Chrysler and Mopar engine armor. Jump online, check out Jeff at Overkill. Tell them you heard about Overkill on the Crash Course Podcast. That's Overkill Derby Products at OverkillDerby.com.
And we are
plans
back.
Bringing that Grand Prix.
Just got a quick note from Jake Sherman, who we're going to be talking about here as we get into the compact portion of the Kings of Old School recap. Jake's daughter won one of the Team Ramrod Power Wheels, and she got a trophy out of it, and she still hasn't put it down. She's been hanging on that thing the whole time.
There's a lot of guys, a lot of kids.
Jake got shoved through the blocks at one point, and when he came back into the track, he was a man on fire. It was a lot of fun to watch him run. And that was, Donnie, I think that was your heat, wasn't it?
No, that was Conti when he got pushed through the wall.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It all ran together here. Team W Body coming away with the win in the compact team bracket. Jamie St. Mary joining us here on the hotline, running in both the full-size feature and the compact feature. And Jamie St. Mary and Matt Zira ended up introducing themselves to Donnie Hartzell in pretty efficient manner there at the end of that feature. I mean, guys, congratulations on that win. You know, you guys have had a pretty strong postseason with Travis Charleston joining you guys, and he brought home a runner-up finish at the New York State Fair here back on Labor Day, and then you guys turn around and together win the Kings of Old School show. Did we lose you?
No, I'm here. Yep.
Oh, okay.
I hear you guys.
How's it going?
Yeah, we had some pretty good luck on our sides. Our cars were pretty good cars. Luck was on our side for sure.
How difficult was it to win that compact feature? I mean, that track was pretty congested, but with the way that track tends to work, it's self-cleaned, so all the dead stuff ends up getting shoved to the outside. So you certainly had some room to maneuver, especially with those W bodies, and you had a couple of those negative impact cars that simply would not go away.
For sure. Yeah, the track was congested, but it kind of opened itself up there when the car started to die. You could move around pretty decent. One thing is for sure is the raffle car was pretty hard. the raffle car got Travis pretty good.
Yes, it did. Right off the bat.
He did.
What's that?
Right off the get-go. When they said go, Travis pulled out, and all he seen was the raffle
Travis,
car go.
Travis said he probably never had his bell rung like that before.
Yeah.
Really?
He was moving.
He clean, oh, wide I... open, right, like three-quarters track right off the bat. I'm like, wow.
That's a lot of ways to go.
Yeah. He was moving.
But Travis...
He hit him hard enough for it. Travis usually uses the same cage material in each one of his cars. He bolts them in the car, and he said he probably won't be able to use this cage again because it's bent pretty good.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah.
But that raffle car, Eric Mears was driving it. It ended up on its lid in the feature, and that put him out because it spilled fluids all over the place inside the car. They couldn't justifiably restart it, so that ended Eric's night. His run on the raffle car was all done there, but it was a pretty good show overall. Donnie, I mean, from your perspective, you got no man's land down there in the corner, and with those two guys on top of you, you weren't getting out.
No. I got out one time, made those loop, and made the mistake and went right back in the same spot. And then I see Matt coming. I was like, yep, I better hang on.
So, I mean, how, you know, Matt, Matt, Jamie, you guys saw him go back into the corner. At that point, were you guys just counting dollar bills, or were you concerned that he was going to be able to work his way out again? It looked like if Donnie could have gotten ahead maybe another 4 or 5 feet or so, there was an opening that you could have maybe shoved your way out of if you got away, but they weren't letting you move anywhere.
Nah, when he used that dead car, that was good. He pushed that right up, right? That's what messed me up right there, because I couldn't get through because I kept catching the side of my car and wouldn't let me go through.
So at that point,
backed up and yeah, here comes Matt.
At that point, Jamie, Matt, were you guys just ready to cash checks?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Wouldn't go that far yet. But my car wasn't long for the world. That's why I kind of sat still and just kind of held him there, hoping he wasn't going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have much for him. My K frame in the front was bent pretty good, and it was kicking in and out of reverse. So I said, well, if I just sit here and drive, maybe I'll let Matt do the business and he could pair it.
Yeah, I was waiting for Matt to do one of his signature go to the other end of the track moves.
That's what I thought he did. I seen him coming. I'm like, he went all the way to the other end.
he wanted to, but he see me wave him off because I see Donnie wave his hand. Matt was trying to line up on him there one last time, and I waved him off. Yeah, that's one thing about him. He doesn't have a signature on that crazy stuff. That's for the birds.
I don't know. I've seen you do a couple good shots like that.
Well, after you do like two or three of them, and you learn that the steering wheel is harder than your chest.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or your jaw. Pull up a little bit.
Makes it rough working the next week.
Now, was it a little bit of redemption for you, Jamie, after the way that it played out in the full size feature?
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't know. I full size feature. I knew I was going to get pinched pretty hard there by the three of them. So I started to drive a little more aggressive toward the end because I didn't want to sit still. Because I know if you sit still, you get somebody up against you and get you holding you, then you're going to be in big trouble. So I overshot the back of the station wagon when I did. I got myself up on that car, but hey, it happens. Definitely. The best show that I have ever ran by far, as far as just the show in general, right from top to bottom. The show is awesome. Can't thank, you know, all of you guys for everything that you do for us as Derby drivers. You guys, and I mean everybody, it goes from the guys that are inspecting the cars to the guys, the officials standing on the side of the track, to the announcers, to Brett and Josh, Mark, it's outstanding to know that we have, and I say it's close to home, it's 4.5 hours for me, to be able to go run an event like that and have that type of quality show so close to home where I don't have to travel to, you know, 12.5 hours to Ohio or Kansas or places like that, because that's close for us to have that caliber show. It means a lot. I mean, especially to us guys up here in the north. I call it the butthole of the country up here.
All right.
Now we got the armpit in Ithaca. So we're getting all the genders going.
I mean,
it is by far the worst place to live in New York because you are so far away from everything.
Yeah, but Jamie, doesn't it help out there? I mean, you keep hauling all these big Buicks and stuff up there, and you kind of stick them in a snowbank and freeze them, and they don't seem to rust. I mean, there's got to be a benefit or something up there, isn't there, buddy?
Yeah, it still costs money to get them babies here.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to be pretty happy with your year. I mean, as a whole, you had some pretty good success at the Franklin County Fair in Malone. You ended up fourth place in the spring version of Kings of Old School. You ended up, I think it would have gone in the book as fifth overall and second place team in the full size, and then you were one of the last two cars running in the compact bracket. It wasn't too bad.
Yes, I've had a very, very good year. I've been very fortunate and lucky.
Is it better to be lucky than good when it comes to this kind of stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I truly base all of it on luck, because any stupid little thing that can happen would happen, so I base it all on luck. I mean, there is some skill that comes into it and the way you drive, but you got to have luck on your side.
Yep.
also got to have good teachers. I mean, Jamie, you've been pretty fortunate that Matt Zira's taken you under his wing and showed you how to.
And he's learned everything from Gumby.
At night when I go to bed, I always pray, thank God for Matt Zira for showing.
Matt, anything?
Yeah, yep.
His wheels are turning. He's waiting for a comeback.
He knows. He understands.
He understands. You guys, a couple opportunities here through the course of the fall here. You guys going to come out and run any place before we put a cap in 2015?
I hope not.
No, you don't want to run anymore? You want to be done?
There's one more show that's about an hour and 40 minutes from here to the east that we may attend. We're still undecided if we're going
to
go or not. But
to the east.
If we do, that will be it, and it'll be on October 3rd. But more than likely, we're not. Deer season and duck season's here, so it's over.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that the logging show, Chris Musa's show?
No, that was actually the same day as the team show.
Oh, okay.
This is a cleanup show they do down in Westport, New York. One of the guys at Derby's down there, he's put it on for a couple of years, I think. It's a more or less run what you brung. There's no rules other than safety.
Oh. So
you take the hybrid New Yorker down there.
That's the one you take down there.
Is that the one he does in his back lawn or something?
Yeah, this is Adrian Gilbert's show.
No, this is a different one.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Chris, I thought you knew about every Derby.
I know this is a curveball. I knew about Chris's show and Adrian's got his backyard bash thing that he does. Donnie Dana's bringing stuff up there. But just when you think you know him,
it's Mike McCray. He's the one that put it on. He's on the Northeast Derby site quite a bit. I think last year and maybe the year before he did a show. I know last year for sure. I can't remember if the year before, but he's doing another one there October 3rd.
Interesting. Hmm. Well, keep us posted on how you do. Wouldn't be bad to add another W to the column this year, huh?
Yeah, I'm starting to get into deer hunting and duck hunting mode, so I'm kind of. The Derby thing you kind of pushed aside for the time being.
So's Brian. He's growing in his deer hunting beard already.
I am. I'm working on it.
Starting early.
Not wrong with that.
At least this year we won't be in Kansas for the opening weekend of deer season.
That's true. That's true.
We come home from Kansas and I actually be here for the opening weekend.
We're going to be in Kansas for half the month, but we're not going to miss any hunting.
The first time. That is true.
Well, you guys, congratulations. Awesome run. I mean, I'm glad you had a good time. It was a good show.
Thank you.
We look forward to catching up with you again soon, and if we don't, keep us posted on all the trophies you take out of duck and deer season.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys later on. There goes Jamie St. Mary, Matt Zira, Travis Charleston also with them. Yeah. We're trying to jam everybody in and trying to get conference calls and stuff together, so I hope Travis doesn't take that as a put out. I contacted Jamie, and then Jamie said he happened to be in the same place as Matt, and it's
well, Travis ended up, I see he posted something. He ended up breaking some sensor or something. That's what took him out. I like busting Zero's balls pretty good. But them guys definitely, I mean, they drove their asses off to win that compact feature. And, you know, just they're very good drivers. Donnie has nothing to hang his head about. I mean,
yeah,
you're out there with all, you know.
Did you have a good time? I mean, everybody else was
absolutely had a hell of a time for sure.
It was. Yeah.
I would think of anybody. You would have had a couple cars down there. I mean, usually you show up and you bring three, four different vehicles.
I was going to do a junk run, and then Corey wanted me to do the kicker class, and I was like, trying to get them all done in one time. Like, I'm just going to bring the one.
Well, right, you didn't run a kicker class now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
When those cars were hitting at one point, I think it was Josh DeBevick and Jeremy Gulley hit nose-to-nose right in front of us, and it wasn't just the sound. It was like a concussion blast. Like, you could feel it in your chest when those two hit. It was crazy.
They hit the blocks on the stand side, on the stage.
Yeah.
The they hit the blocks, and people were saying after that heat that were up in the stands were vibrating.
Yeah.
Well, I was chatting with Jeremy Gulley a little bit yesterday, and I asked him how he did, and said broke another transmission. Then he sent me a picture. He goes, "That's my fault, though. I just can't turn down those nose-to-nose shots." Well,
just
you know,
can't turn it down.
Jeremy likes driving hard.
Jeremy's.
I'm bummed right out. I mean, I know I'm gonna end up building something like that, and that's gonna be like a last hurrah.
I don't think you should build one of those. I think you should run at King's Old School, but I don't think you should build one of those. That's all I'm gonna say on that topic.
On the topic of last hurrah, it sounds like Cliff Donnelly that his medical situation has got to a point where this was probably his last run. So I was glad to see that he was able to get back out there for the feature and actually be part of that. Jeremy Gulley, I don't know if you noticed that, but after he hit that, his eyes were stuck to his glasses, which were sticking out of his visor, which was kind of cool. You don't get to see that every day. David Spencer, Sean Spencer, what a way to finish the truck feature. But no, we didn't get into that. You know, he backed up and blasted his dad and hit him a ton. To put an exclamation point on it, and I'm thinking, why would you do that to your dad? But as we come to find out that if the roles had been reversed, his dad would have been trying to flip him over too.
The funny thing, them guys are out in the inspection line. They're putting a radiator in an inspection line.
Nice,
pulling me.
You got
to put a radiator in it, and they were working on it. They were working on it right up to the time, you know, the last call where they had to have it lined up, but.
We're going to be getting in touch with Mike Ingram in just a minute here to talk a little bit about Brookfield Wheel Days coming up. But another guy that we want to mention, we talked about the kicker class, and Jamie Bolt's car winning again, and James ended up driving that thing to a feature. Win Josh Dubevic, for all intents and purposes, I got to think that dude had the thing won.
He drove like an animal.
Yeah,
he should have had the thing won, and the frame rail broke out of it, and he backed over it. Now, I thought, and I made a mistake, the way that car was acting and the noises it was making, I don't know how, but it sounded like a broken axle. And I'm like, this is unreal.
That wasn't his car making that noise.
And
it was Bolt's car.
Yeah. On top of that, you know, with the way the wheel was spinning, it wasn't moving. It was laying over on one side. But then he got it to – he leaned out the window, told him, come on, hit me again, trying to get himself broken free. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you could see both wheels were still –
something digging in the back.
Still,
it was his bumper and frame rail.
He broke the real frame rail off, and it was digging in. But Bolt's car, when they were hitting the headlight and then he getting a pinned around, every time Bolt's car back up, funky ass sound and grinding sound coming out of that.
Yeah, I mean, as a side note, the Postal Mopar rear end, I believe that was what was under that car. I don't think you're going to break an axle, but if you do, what happened to cause that to fail? You know what I mean? But sure enough.
Didn't he break one of his Postal Mopar?
I think he did.
Yes.
I think it was.
At, I can't remember which show it was at.
Super Stock show, I think. Well, no.
I don't remember, but
that was a transmission.
He got one broke.
That was it.
Broke one in that wagon.
Yeah, I think someone full tracked him from a mile away.
And it hit him in the tire pushing it ahead, yeah. and it broke where the splines were.
I think so, yes. I remember him breaking one. I just don't remember the exact details.
I was in that shop. That's been fixed. Don't worry about it.
Just put one of the new ones in and set that one back to get fixed.
The Bevic, actually, he was one of the guys, too. He donated his winnings to Jeremy's.
That was cool when he did that. That's very cool.
Forgot to change that.
He's also talking about about patching that car together and taking it to Virginia.
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Yep. Well, he told me
that we're going to see him again, mm-hmm. which I'm glad of that.
Well, he's nutted right up.
The front of that car was nasty at Keystone Nationals. He had some stuff go wrong for him.
Hey, it's Chris.
But that's Pete's whole car, right?
No, that was fresh.
Josh's.
He built that this year for Keystone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That car would have been tough in Keystone. I can't remember what ended up knocking him out, but he put on a hell of a show down there.
Presumably it was a Sciopa car.
Was that who he was battling with?
I think so. I mean, I'm trying to remember. We're gonna be put on the spot. We got episode number 100 coming up next week, and we'll probably book one or two guests. But what we are going to do is open up the hotlines for next week. Here's a quick look, so you can jot down the phone number 315-712-0104. That's 315-712-0104. Also next week during episode 100, the Crash Course has a donation link that's been active for a while, and for the duration of episode number 100, any donations that come in on that donation are going to be given back to the Gulley family as their boy Martin was diagnosed with a very challenging disease, San Filippo syndrome. So a lot of raffles and donations and stuff. Everybody trying to rally around the Gully family has done so much for our sport as it is, and we're going to try and make that happen. Joining us now on the hotline here is Mike Ingram. We're going to get to him here momentarily. We do need to show you two more things real quick, and we will be right back.
Ultimate Derby's Blizzard Bash is back this fall, the hallmark of the Kansas Expo Center's Derby schedule. In Topeka, Kansas, has been expanded to 4 days this coming November. The event will include something for every fan within Demolition Derby. Inspection opens November 11th with a heat draw party in the Vendors Arena. Action starts November the 12th at 7 p.m. with the National Team Bracket and the Qualifying Team Bracket opening rounds. Action returns Friday, November the 13th with National Bracket and Team Bracket Round 2. The 80s Mod Heats and the 80s Leaf classes are also on the card. Saturday's card includes the 1,000 to win RC Derby planned for 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the vendors area right in the Ski Inc. Pavilion. That's before the full-size cars take the track at 6 o'clock with B features for both the team brackets, the 80s Consi, the stock one and dones for Old Iron, the 80s and the Compacts, the Power Wheels, Youth Division, and Pro Mods are also on Saturday's card. Championship Sunday rolls off at noon with modified compacts and Old Iron leading the charge. Then trucks, the 80s feature, and the qualifying bracket feature leading to crowning the national championship in the team finale. All the action is available on...
Demo Derby Masters offers a wide array of stocked derby parts and accessories that have all been derby tested. Demo Derby Masters also offers custom fabrication, meaning your homespun garage idea can become a finely produced reality. Their team of engineers and demo derby drivers have designed, manufactured, and derby tested all parts to ensure the quality and durability, even under the most extreme conditions. DemoDerbyMasters.com also carries a full line of helmets, fire suits, gloves, and belts, and Kaiser's own branded oils and fluids. Parts are manufactured, housed, and shipped out of their 140,000 square foot facility located in Coopersville, Michigan. Order online at DemoDerbyMasters.com or contact them by phone at 800-472-2464 or email info@DemoDerbyMasters.com.
And again, Blizzard Bash is November 14th to the 16th coming up at the Topeka Expo Center in Topeka, Kansas. Sorry about cutting that ad short. Didn't mean to do that. Little too quick on the trigger for the Demo Derby Masters ad there.
That just follows the pace of the show.
It does. It does. It's part of the part of the game, right?
Yeah.
Part of the game. Mike Ingram joining us here on the hotline, man. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
No problem. Glad to catch up with you. Congratulations due from earlier this year, having won the Madison County Fair, and now we are going back to that same track in Brookfield, New York here this weekend, so you got a chance at doubling up here.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I mean, we'll see. There's going to be a lot of good cars there, a lot of drivers that know what they're doing, so.
Do you like running? Do you like running at Wheel Days? I mean, last year there was 150-some cars there. I mean, it's no walk in the park. You've had some good runs there in the past. Coming away with a win at the fair has got to give you some momentum going back into Brookfield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's, you know, like I said, there's a lot of cars that show up every year. It's basically a cleanup show. I mean, their cars are running good, and guys are going back through them, fixing everything that, you know, happened to them at a previous show. And it's by far not an easy show. So, yeah. Gives me some good confidence for going back this weekend, but anything can happen.
That has been proven time and time again there. No question. I remember when Rick Engelhart took that wagon of Brett Relier's round back and proceeded to wrap the bumper around, I think it was like the second and third pistons.
Yeah.
Because the front of the motor was totally blown off. Everything was just parts and pieces
the
back.
Broke down to the crank.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
He jumped a lot of parts up there, and everybody else's parts in the process. So yeah. I miss running against him. He was definitely someone that you had to watch out for.
I think everybody misses that guy.
Here we go.
Yeah.
It's going to be a busy weekend. They're raffling off a couple cars at the Lake Erie Rumble on Saturday the 26th. Lake Erie Rumble 3 is up there. I think Donnie's taking a bunch of equipment up there so we can get that thing covered.
You mean you're not going to be two places at once?
I'm not going to be able to pull that one off. No, wow. It's actually two opposite sides of the state. There's no way we could do that. If Donnie wasn't coming through to help, we probably weren't even going to be able to send cameras up to Dunkirk. So wow. I appreciate the assistance there. Woodbugger's Demolition Derby, they've got a cleanup show on Saturday. And then I think Belfast is Saturday. They've got it's going to be a very, very busy weekend for Demolition Derby in the Northeast.
Just because it's going to be snowing in a week, we got to get that stuff done over with.
I was reading that it's supposed to be unseasonably warm in November and December, which means that January and February are probably going to be unseasonably hellish. But we'll take it as long as we can, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
never had to shovel sunshine.
Nope.
Give us a little snow for hunting season, that's all.
It was 49 when I got up this morning, though. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I got up and there was a nice little chill in the air. And
it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was nice. House was a little chilly.
I'm not bothered when it's 96 when I wake up in the morning. Doesn't bother me.
See, I'd rather have it 49 than 96.
Me too.
I'm not a fan of that stuff.
I don't know why Donnie's not built like you. I can see why you want the cooler weather.
Oh, I love that.
Cool weather's where it's at.
I put a fan in the window all winter long and blow it out.
See, Ben's used to the heat anyways. I mean, it's 200 degrees in his workshop anyways, so heat don't bother him, but, you know. After welding for 30 years,
it's like just another 30 day in the degrees office. For him when he gets home. Walking around with a knit hat on.
Mike, is that going to do it for your year after wheel days, or are you going to try and squeeze something else out? I know we've hinted a little bit at Virginia, the Chaos in the Valley show coming up on the 24th of October. We're going to go down there and live stream that thing with Jason and Penny Shipe, JPG Towing. You ever think about trying to get out of town?
I'm done for the year after wheel days. My brother and I are going to take the rest of the season off and regroup for next year, I guess. I mean, it's overwhelming this year. We went Pennsylvania, watched my nephew run down in Palmerton, Pennsylvania, and the youth derby down there. We've been Hartford. We've been everywhere. So, and plus, wrenching on cars, it's just, we're ready for the season to be over after Saturday. So
you used that 66 Imperial to win back at the fair. Is that the same piece that you're bringing back?
No, I am going to run a fresh 1967 Cornet. I was actually going to take it to Kings of Old School in June, and due to some medical issues, I couldn't run, so I figured I'd take it wheel days. So,
you love those things, man. I've seen you have some real good runs in those GTX Coronets, stuff like that.
Yeah, Rick Englehart, I ran a 1966 Plymouth Belvedere in 2012, and
yes.
Rick Englehart put me on my lid and gave me a scare. So
first ever hit of the year award was that shot right there that he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, that was a crazy. I saw him coming, and that was that. I pretty much laid myself on the seat and enjoyed the ride. So
that was Rick was in
hopefully
his
that
fear,
does not happen again.
Yeah, Rick was in his was that red, white, and blue fury. And he got
19, I believe it was 77 Grand Fury. Oh. It was Clifford Donnelly's.
And he got a hold of the right rear corner that Belvedere and flipped it right over the left front corner, just right over. And he parked on top of it, put it in reverse, and backed down off of it. I didn't car camera on that thing, and all of a sudden you can see the black and blue of the Bad Intentions car, then the grandstands, and then the sky.
Yeah, I saw him come about half track, and I couldn't move. I mean, dead car in front of me, car behind me, and I was, well, I'm going to enjoy the ride and enjoy my 5 seconds of fame here. Well, the best in the sport rolls me, so it was quite the experience that I don't want to share again, so.
You gave out your share of hard knocks here in the last 2 years when I've seen you run a couple different places now, and with that Imperial, you were certainly dishing out some punishment at the fair.
Yeah, it's all about fun. It's, you know, July, there was a great group of guys that were running, and, you know, if you didn't take the hard shot on them, you could guarantee it was coming back at you, and I mean, I took my licks and gave some out too, and just panned out in July. Just guess it was meant to be finally to win something for a change.
It was a long time coming, and I certainly hope that you can make this thing happen again here in a couple weeks. We go to wheel day. Is there anybody that you're that when you're out there on the track that you absolutely love to run with?
I believe Josh Buell's coming. I'm not 100% sure. I think my good friend Chad Brown's coming. I like running against all them guys because you never know. you know, I mean, they run hard too, so it's going to be fun.
Wheel Day certainly has a reputation of turning cars inside out.
Yeah, it's always a good show.
Yep, and, well, that's what we do it for fun, get out, shake hands, and do it all over again the following weekend.
That there's no question about that. Anybody else that you wanted to make quick mention of here before we get out of here?
No, I think I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me. It was an honor to be a part of what you're doing. It's awesome.
Well, we certainly do try.
Thanks.
I hope it brings you good luck.
Me too.
But, man, I appreciate it. Again, congratulations on the win back at the fair and opportunity to double up here. We'll be keeping an eye on you when you're out there with your cornet.
Cool, thank you. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
There goes.
Bye. Thanks.
You bet. There goes Mike Ingram, winner of the Madison County Fair back in July in Brookfield, New York, getting the cornet together, getting ready to come back out for Brookfield Wheel Days coming up on Saturday. As we mentioned, busy weekend of Demolition Derby action, man. We're going to be kind of covering two places at the same time, Lake Erie Rumble 3, the benefit for the Variety Kids out there in Dunkirk. You're going to see, if you like Imperials, this is the weekend to go to a derby, because if you go to Dunkirk, there's going to be a ton of them in the old iron class going against Roundbacks and Cadillacs and all sorts of stuff out there, and that's one-shot deal. So all the plated Ys and fix-it plates and 14-run Imperials that are going to be ready to go for that show. And if that's too far of a drive, go ahead and take in Wheel Days. Because
that's close by.
Well, from where we are, it's like 2 hours either way. I mean, it's...
There's no way Wheel Days... I've rode with you to Morris, and Wheel Days has got to be 6, 7, 8 hours away.
It's 2 hours away. Pay no attention.
This is why Chris doesn't drive on our trips anymore.
But in any case, you know, you got your opportunity to see Imperials, and basically, when it comes down to the heat action, pretty much everything front to back at Wheel Days. Last year, they ran through 15 heats, and last year's pace was a little bit slower than the year before. I think the average time on track was like 8 minutes and 50 seconds for the heats and features everything front to back. The year before that, it was down closer to like 7:50, 8:14, somewhere in there. Which, when you think about that, that's pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. People get spoiled watching that.
That's where
a lot of the... You get used to watching fast-paced shows like that, and then you go to a, quote-unquote, I call a normal-paced show, and everybody's booing and screaming, saying they're a bunch of baggers, but each is their own.
To each their own. Donnie, man, thanks again for going out there and helping. It was good to catch up with you down there at King's Vol School. Good run. Glad you can make it in here. Now, have you got fire stuff you got to do after this?
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. Did you see Andy?
Yes, I did.
Andy Lee was down there. Yes, he ended up catching a ride, I think, with John Sprague.
Yeah.
Ended up picking him up. And I tell you what, John Sprague, his name was pulled at the right time at those raffles at King's Bowl School. Holy cow, he ended up winning a couple axle savers. He ended up getting some real nice stuff on those door prize raffles. And Josh Buell actually pulled your name twice, but actually dropped the ticket back into the box and had to pick somebody else's.
No doubt. Thanks, Josh. I appreciate that, buddy.
But I think that's going to do it for this edition of Crash Course, episode number 99 in the books. Next week, we're going to give you the opportunity. I'll show you the phone number here one more time. Where did that one go? There it is. Next week, phone lines will be open, 315-712-0104. You're welcome to call in. Share thoughts, ask questions, shoot us anything that you might want to. And also, starting next week with the start of the show, for the duration of the time that we're on, we've got the donation link is going to be kicking money directly to the Gully family, and that does not start again. It does not start until episode number 100. So hang on to it. Wait until we're live, because what we'd like to do is be able to kind of keep track of that as the show goes on. So. Make sure you keep the Gullies in mind next week. That is going to do it for this edition of the Crash Course Demolition Derby podcast. We appreciate it, and we'll see everybody back here again next week for episode 100.
Demo Derby Masters offers a wide array
of
derby parts and accessories that have all been...
There we go.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Laguna Grand Slam. Boat Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015.
Demo Derby Masters. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at recklessabandongear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.